From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, it's the Mark Haney Show on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And we do that by building the Backyard Advantage. It's the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs, and it's based around this culture of love and helping each other. And today on the show, we're going to be talking about a company that is very, very key in its industry here in Sacramento. And we're, you know, it's these success stories that happen that can inspire the rest of us. So that's part of how we show the love, is by sharing success stories. So today on the show, we have Dave Schertz, Amber Schertz, Gary Schertz, it's the Schertz family, and Jen Matulich. Am I pronouncing your name?
Matulich.
Can't pronounce. And they have Solus Enterprises, so we're going to find out about their company, but I'm going to learn to pronounce the names correctly, hopefully, and we will learn a little bit about this family business. Why don't we start with you, Dave? You're the founder and CEO. Maybe just walk us through your vision when you first started the organization, and you know, what you guys do today.
All right. Well, thanks for having us, Mark.
You bet.
Excited to be here. Been in the HVAC heating and air business my whole life. Ever since I was, I think, 17 years old, I've been doing this. So trade school, got out. As soon as I got back to Sacramento, started doing residential, and moved into commercial because one of my older brothers had a commercial HVAC company, and started working for him. And at 26, I started my own business. So
started pretty young.
Yeah, real young. Three kids, and started my own business. So not the smartest move. But
and you started in the HVAC space because you had some industry experience right there already.
Yeah. Yeah, mostly all commercial at that point.
Okay. But, were you competing against another family member when you did it?
No, not really. No,
okay.
No.
Okay.
Never did that.
Okay, so why did you get? Okay, you had three kids at the time. You're 26. For a lot of people, that would be scary. What was your emotion, and how did you sort of deal with that kind of life situation with the young family?
It was scary, and I don't really know why I did it. I just had this driving need to have my own business. I felt like I worked for people, and I just didn't feel like it worked for me. I felt like I had to make the decision to call my own shots, I guess. So I just felt like I had to do it, even though I think at the time, you know, it probably wasn't the best idea. Looking back, all my kids were young. I was young. I had no business experience. Just took a leap of faith and went for it. And again, that was my first business. That's not the current business we have. But I think that's when I got my teeth into owning my own business. And yeah. I had that for 10 years and I ended up selling it.
Nice.
And then worked for a company locally here who bought me and learned a lot more working for them. They taught me a lot of different stuff. Still close to most of those people that were in that company. And then I decided to do it again. And this time I decided to do it with family.
Yeah, and I'm excited to hear that dynamic. But I want to make sure that I remember that you sold cars. You were kind of entrepreneurial as like a 14-year-old kid. So you would you worked for a gas station, your brother's gas station.
Yeah.
And so some of the fixers that would end up being there at the shop, you would buy those and fix them and resell them.
Yeah, yeah. As a used car salesman, worked at my brother's.
It ties to entrepreneurship, really.
It really does.
Well.
So I would just find a deal, you know, an old, either a Toyota Corona or a Volkswagen Bug, or it could be a pickup. I'd buy it cheap and just fix it up and sell it. And I just enjoyed doing that at a young age. Before I even had my driver's license, I was doing that. And then, you know, before you know it, I think before I graduated, I probably had 15 or 20 vehicles that I had flipped and
oh,
sold.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was just something I enjoyed doing.
All right. You know how to make a buck. And
I tried
you know,
to.
Yeah, that's
awesome. I
don't
think I was making much, but I was trying to.
All right. So let's bring in Amber. You and I talked a little bit before the show about your background. And then, you know, you guys sell your business. And now you decide to pivot at some level from what you were doing to start the new family business. Tell us about that and the emotion and that change for you. And then I want to go back and find out what your feelings when he first started the business at 26.
Well, that we were not together then. So we're second marriages.
Oh, gotcha.
But,
okay.
So we both had regular jobs when we met. We actually met at an industry event through the construction industry here in Rockland, actually. So about 5 years after that, we decided, what are we doing? We both are into, you know, running our own thing and don't like bosses and want to have a say in how it goes and what we get to do and not do. And so we decided to start again.
That's amazing. Well, how's it worked out for you so far, would you say?
It's been pretty special. We were going to keep it really small. We were going to be maybe $2 million a year in revenue, have a handful of service technicians, not do any construction. And that's not been the case. It's grown, I would say, probably, 20-30% every year.
Oh, my goodness.
Since we started.
Since, like, 2016. You started in 2016. So that's a lot of...
It's been a whirlwind.
A lot of change.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have, what, 84 employees, 85 employees?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So a lot's... How do you say no when, mm-hmm. when something's working and it's going well and you're thriving and you still have the energy to do it? It's like... How are we going to turn anything down? Or
what's the family dynamic, though, working with your husband? So if I work with my wife, one of us would kill each other, and I think I would be dead right now, to tell you the truth. So
We kind of stay out of each other's way a little bit. Mm-hmm. He does more sales, business development in front of people, and I kind of stay back and do more in the office with Gary.
Well, luckily you're a big enough company where you can kind of carve out your lanes. It's not like you're riding to the job site together.
Not a lot. We'll do a couple events together here and there, but for the most part, day to day, we don't have a ton of interaction.
When you get home, do you? Complain. What's the conversation look like at home?
We kind of made a conscious effort early on to leave it when we left the building, because when we first started, we're on our third building. So we had a really small space in Rancho Cordova. It was maybe 5,000 square feet total with some warehouse and office. And we grew out of that really quickly. So we moved to the second one, and now we're on building number 3, which we'll never, ever have to leave again.
Have offices like right next to each other?
We always go on the opposite sides of the building.
In the first year I did the show, I interviewed the owners of Bases Loaded. Cordova too. Yeah. And they put their offices right next to each other with like an adjoining door type thing. And I'm like, how do you guys do that?
Yeah, we shared an office for a very short time at our last building because we were growing so quickly and we needed the square footage and space. It didn't go very well. So I worked from home a lot then. Luckily it was COVID, so it made sense. But now we have our own space and we actually work pretty well. We're usually aligned for the most part in what we want and how things should go. So
okay,
it's pretty well.
Very cool.
And so Gary can be our mediator.
Who recruited Gary? Gary is your nephew. So Gary, talk to us, walk us through the recruitment process for that. Did you beg for a job or did he beg you or how did it work?
It was actually, I'd say it's kind of a slow evolution. So education background and work history did not at all align with anything HVAC related.
Yeah, you're a baseball guy. You got your master's and
sociology and then communications and sociology were kind of my formal education background. And I was working in the nonprofit mental health space actually for kids. And Dave and I were close. He's the youngest uncle of my father's side, and everybody on aside from my dad, that's a male sibling of Dave, was in the HVAC space one way or another. So I was always a little bit separated from it just because my dad never found his way into HVAC. But just being a larger family and a close family, everybody still is local, which has been great. It's been a truly, you know, one of the coolest things to grow up in a family like that and just have cousins, aunts, uncles, everybody around. By nature of that, I was always close to Dave. You know, we got kind of increasingly close as I grew up and, you know, kind of became an adult and going through college. We'd spend a lot of time together just casually and having fun. And he would every once in a while just put a little bug in my ear, just say, "Hey, if you want to do something else, let me know." And I'm thinking, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I don't know anything about HVAC. But so I never really put any thought to it. My work situation was super fulfilling, but super time consuming. And I had met my now wife at the time, and our relationship kind of started to grow and could see, you know, the future of children, family, and the existing work situation was not conducive to that happening. Just the hours were crazy. So at some point I just got on the phone with Dave and said, hey, if you're serious about it, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm interested. I gotta make a change here. So we kind of worked out the details. This was, I mean, 4 or 5 months into Solace really starting, right? So it's pretty early in the company's phase of development, but we just kind of jumped in, started grabbing tools and changing filters and understanding what an HVAC system was, and kind of just went from there.
Oh my goodness.
And now he runs the company.
You're the president of the company? He's the president of the company? Man, that's cool. Yeah. That's really cool. That's like work from the ground up. A great story of probably, you know, hard work. Because I think anybody who has a small business out there that knows or has worked around a small business, when you first start, it's really tough to get good people and have somebody working really closely with the leadership, the ownership. You get scrutinized, right? You get trained by the best, but you also get evaluated by somebody who really, really, really cares. Yep. So
yeah, and I'd say, I mean, it's super fortunate, obviously, for the opportunities, the big thing. But then also having Amber and Dave understand too that it wasn't. They're not bringing somebody in that's ready to do anything right away, right? It was a slow build, and I don't know that anybody had the vision that this is what I would be doing. I think maybe at some point it started to come to fruition, but originally it was more of a kind of a sales focus, customer, client facing business development role, but kind of quickly morphed into just whatever we needed. But they also gave me the leash to grow and learn and understand that it's going to take time. And, you know, we're still learning constantly, right? And there's still headaches every day that, you know, things that I have never encountered before. And I'm leaning on these guys and I'm leaning on our management team. But they have afforded me the opportunity to learn, right? And understanding that this is a long play in terms of this business and developing something that's sustainable and has a solid foundation. So getting to be a part of that is obviously an opportunity that not a lot of people have had, and super fortunate for that.
Very cool. And then somehow Jen got involved in the company not that long ago, because she was on my show, I don't know, a couple years ago, a year and a half ago maybe, and she was with Five Star Bank, the Entrepreneur's Bank, and so you guys were teasing me about my Five Star Bank mug.
We love it.
I'm obviously a supporter, a fan, and all that of everybody at Five Star. But then I ran into you at a Five Star Bank event. I think it was the 25th anniversary. And I'm like, hey, how are you doing? Good, good. You know, and then what, you don't work here anymore? I was shocked because, I mean, everybody loves you. You've got a image around the banking community and around the small business community that is, you know, top notch, is kind of a go-getter, fun person to be around. You know, it's like making banking cool. And now you're doing HVAC. Now you're going to make HVAC cool? Tell us about that story, how you got involved.
Oh, absolutely. So who would have thought, right? 20 years of banking, I would have made this switch. My mom was a career banker. My dad was a career CPA. Naturally, my husband, being an electrical contractor, I started building a portfolio in the construction industry and becoming very passionate and supportive of the region and the contractors that I banked. And obviously, Solace being one of my favorite contractors that I worked with, I started thinking, well, what's next in my career? And, you know, I knew I didn't want to move up the corporate ladder. I knew how cool would it be to work on the other side of the house, supporting a multi-generational family-owned business that's in growth mode, that's local, that I can still apply all my same resources in the ecosystem that I developed, thankfully, because of Five Star. I wouldn't have this opportunity. And I really started thinking, well, what's next? Talking to my husband, you know, I think it's important that you become complacent, that you get outside your comfort zone and really do what you love. You got to take risks to get reward. And some people think I'm crazy. I think it's the best decision ever. And it's just great to end my chapter in banking on a high, still be connected to the Five Star Bank, fam, bam, and now be able to have this second career opportunity for the next 20 years of my career supporting these guys. And I saw every aspect of the relationship, succession plan, where they were going, how they would collaborate together, you know, the financials, I mean, all of that. And now I can apply what I learned to banking to the construction industry, still with the same. And I think too, if you're not learning and growing, I think that's just so important too, every day, to get outside of, you know, what you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I think it kind of proves the point too, that you never know who a very important person in your life, client, would be. Your client becomes now, you're now part of the family. And that's really cool that you treat these relationships like they're going to last forever. And it's, you know, obviously it's a lesson for all of us to make sure we don't do that. We don't do business transactionally. It's got to be relationship oriented.
Well, exactly. And that's a big part of why I chose to work with Solis, that I knew they were in a need where they were in growth mode. And I was like, okay, I'm ready to rock and roll if you guys are ready to have me, type of situation. And knowing too that I could make that impact, help them grow. It's been a great journey so far. And I'm just excited to keep learning.
Okay, I keep hearing the word growth mode, which I love because I'm part of the Growth Factory, so it's part of, it's not the name of our company. But if you're not growing, you're dying. So yep. What maybe you share, maybe this is for Dave or any of you, that what's the vision for that growth? Because I know you have, I've been saying HVAC, but I know it's more than that, but I don't know really what the vision is for you to take the company.
Great question. Growth is what I enjoy doing. That's the thing that's always got me excited about having my own business. There's times where that's not always good, right? I mean, growth also means cash flow, means pain, means turnover. So if you ask me, I'm always wanting to grow. The guy who's actually running the company sitting over there will tell you that growth is good, but we need to do it in a slower, strategic way. So I think together we all bounce that off each other, and I think we've got the right mindset right now as far as where we want to grow.
Well, you have different lines of business, right? There's you have solar, you have HVAC,
plumbing,
and
then there's construction and okay. There's service. So we have a large service company
okay.
that does the service for both plumbing and HVAC. And then we have the construction side. We work with general contractors in town doing the construction.
Do the same people that do the plumbing, is it plumbing more than service? It's service only. It's not, there's not construction.
Small special projects in plumbing, but mostly service, yeah.
Okay. And then on the solar side, that's new construction type stuff, I guess, typically.
It could be existing too. Existing buildings, either on the building, could be ground mount. Now in California, they're mandating solar for all new commercial buildings. So we're doing those.
EV chargers.
Yeah.
Airport okay. setups. Yeah.
And you, is it the type of business that has like a recurring revenue service, or is it go out and just fix something?
The service side of our business is definitely reoccurring. It's mm-hmm. Relationships over the years, building relationships, doing what you say. And then even in the construction side, it's you got to have the right number, but it's also reoccurring because you got to build relationships with those guys too. So
yeah, one of the challenges that you touched on, and I was thinking about this before the show, is getting good people, creating the right place to work, the right culture. And right now in the trades, there's less people growing up dreaming about turning a wrench than maybe when you and I were kids, right? Or when I was a kid anyway. People, that was a good job. Working in construction was a pretty good job for a high school person or somebody just getting out of high school. Now, it's the world has changed a little bit. I don't know that everybody's thinks they're geared that way. So in terms of workforce, how do you deal with, you know, creating the right workforce and the right feeder system for yourself?
Yeah, I can jump on that a little bit. I think you're 100% right. I think that there's, especially over the last 20 to 30 years, there's almost a stigma against, trades, skilled trades, labor force, and going into that line of work. I do think, fortunately for us, I think we're starting to see a shift a little bit back. I think of local initiatives. I think it's the CCCA, it's a local high school, right, that's really focused towards vocational education and trade school from that level, right? So before, mm-hmm. Graduating high school, you have an opportunity to get your hands into things that can benefit and can be a long-term career opportunity. So that's been, I think we're starting to see a little bit of a shift, but it's still definitely a challenge, right? I think that what we try to do is recognize that it's a slow build. What we really need to do is invest in people, present an opportunity. If they demonstrate the willingness to learn, to get their hands dirty, to dive in and learn and be a part of our culture and buy into what we want to do and what we want to be as a company, I think that a lot of the technical stuff you can develop, right? There's resources out there. We have a strong team of service technicians that can help mentor, can help train, can help teach. We can lean on education programs like Sac City College, things like that can help develop the technical skills. Mm-hmm. But developing that team from the foundation up so that they're bought into what we are and what we want to be as a culture, and they feel like they're a part of it. And then really just supporting the heck out of them with the education and the technical training, and then just the cultural support, I think, is a huge part of how we try to keep, how to grow and keep talent. Sure, if somebody's out there and they're unhappy at a place of employment and we're a good fit for them and they come with that skill set, we're going to entertain that every time, right? But there's still challenges sometimes with that in terms of the cultural fit. So we really, I think it's a testament to our department heads and our managers of the amount of energy and effort they put into developing a culture where people want to be and they want to stay. I think it's the number one reason why we're able to continue to grow in a service space where it's all about having the skilled labor, right? If you don't have it, you can't grow the business. If you can't perform, you're going to lose business. So,
Amber, how would you describe the culture?
I think it's the most important thing to all three of us. So it's pretty special. We try to keep it feeling like a small business, even though it's getting bigger and bigger. I don't know why I'm getting emotional.
Yeah, you're proud it's of cool. it. That's cool. So what? So obviously, this was an attractive spot for you, Jen, to career shift in a really major way. From my vantage point, how would you describe the culture? Is it fun? Obviously, it's family oriented at some level, but maybe just give us your.
You just nailed some of the core values.
Oh, fun?
Culture, fun is in there. Family first, being collaborative, knowledgeable. You know, there's so much that I love about the culture. Culture is so important to me. It was important to me prior in my banking career. It's very important to me now because it's relationship driven. And that's what I love about these guys is everything's built on that relationship. And that's internal and external. It's how you treat your employees. It's how you treat your customers. It's every aspect of that. And that's what's so important. They live and breathe it. And actually, one thing that you would probably love is they have EOS systems. So we've got accountability. We've got consistency. We hold each other accountable. We have weekly meetings, you know, and I'm blessed to be a part of the leadership team and to help grow the company and be a face. But it's like, I couldn't do that without the support of everyone. And it's just really cool being even talking out on the field with our service guys and whatnot. They just love what they do. And that's so important that you love what you do. It's an extension of family. Like you go to work every day. I work, you know, if you're working 40, 50, 60 hours, you're with family. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important. And without that, your job's not fun.
Yeah. And don't you think the client, the customer feels it when the employee has job satisfaction or they're happy with their job?
Absolutely. You care. Yeah. Absolutely.
And now you guys are in people's homes. It's not all commercial, right?
It's
all commercial. Okay. So you mentioned sort of some of the issues that are sort of headaches. We talked about it can be a headache or it can be a blessing to have the culture. It can be something you're super, super proud of. But then there's these big challenges associated with running any business. I'm wondering maybe what the biggest challenges are besides, obviously you've solved the challenge of, or you're solving the challenge of having great employees.
Yeah, I can jump on that. Some of the challenges I think are, again, they're blessings, right? The blessing is that we've been afforded an opportunity to continue to grow rapidly, right? But the challenges that come with that are scaling it correctly, right? Scaling it from a process standpoint and a structure standpoint, right? A lot of what EOS kind of teaches fundamentally are the things that become a challenge and they take time to develop. So when it's rapid growth, right, sometimes you don't have the time to build out the infrastructure to support that growth well at first. So you play catch up a little bit, right? And then obviously the cash flow piece of any sort of rapidly growing business is a challenge, right? So figuring out, that's why banking relationships are important. And that's why our client relationships are so important, right? They understand and it's a partnership and they understand the importance of us getting paid in a timely manner because as we continue to scale, you know, a lot of that cash is outlaid and we got to have it to keep the gears turning, to keep the machine growing.
How is innovation affecting your business? I mean that from the industry perspective, but also running a business. There's a lot more innovative ways of running a business. Even EOS is something that's only been on the scene, popular for like the last 5-10 years, but now we're seeing AI and all kinds of ways to automate so you don't necessarily need to hire as fast. You can do it with technology. But then, so I'd love one of you to touch on that, but then also like what's changing in the industry in terms of, creating stuff that makes everybody else's life better.
Yeah. I'll touch on the,
I mean, HVAC is always changing. He can every couple of years, there's a new regulation or a new refrigerant requirement. Mm. There's, it's always changing. So
California, especially
regulation, my favorite, least.
So we have very good job security that way, especially with the service department. So there's always stuff like that in our software program that we use is integrating some AI programs or I don't know exactly
kind of modules or systems to implement. I think that from the structure side of the business, that's where I see the biggest efficiency gain or opportunity for efficiency gain is really in software. And we try to use aside from accounting software, it's our hub, right? It's an essentially a one-stop shop for everything that's business operation based. And it's a large company that continues to invest pretty significantly into their product to help build out, branch into new markets, support clients like us that have, added verticals to their offering to kind of be able to adapt to that. So, but AI particularly, right? Just helping even from, I think, they're implementing AI on just your phone calls. If people call in, there's AI tools that are, routing those accurately. Not even real live phone attendance. Like we're not there, but you can see the writing on the wall in the ways that these software companies are really leveraging the technology as best they can to streamline some of these things. And then also, reduce errors and increase efficiencies in a lot of areas.
What about in the field with the from a customer standpoint, do we have products out there that adjust the climate control without having, they're just more automated.
Yeah.
And so it saves money, saves on their utility bills and so on.
That's getting better all the time too. There's digital controls now. I mean, everything's, web-based. You can look at a building remotely on your phone, at the office. Clients can do it. You can actually program those to start at the right time and save you energy, save you money. So all that stuff, and it's been there for a while, just keeps getting better all the time. But pretty much everything's going that way now.
What's changing in the plumbing industry? Is anything, what's changing there? Is that changing fast, or is that just same old crap?
Nope, we love it. We love it.
Get shit done. Yeah,
when it's an emergency, it's an emergency. You got to be there.
I'll bet you two specifically, maybe all of you have seen some things that you didn't want to see on the plumbing side.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we haven't actually had to deal with it too much, but there's definitely, we got tools that run through lines and they scope, camera scope lines, a lot of hydro jetting, things like that. I'm sure, there's days where it's not the best job and, it gets a little messy, but it's one of the service offerings that we have that there's not as much of a rapid change in terms of technology on a lot of that, right? Sure, you gain efficiencies with different, water heaters, things like that, and equipment. But in general, it's a pipe transferring liquid. So it's a lot of the same stuff.
When your pipes are plugged, you need us. That's the bottom line.
That's right.
Or you get the hydrojetter.
Building owners, we do a lot of bidding so far and looking at changing out faucets for, the more automated faucet and toilet system, stuff like that for upgrades. But
Why did you guys decide to stay away from residential? Because you've had to say no to it, right? It's like people probably say, "Can you?" No, I assume you say no.
So I used to do residential when I first got in the business, and I think it's good for guys to do residential. You have to learn how to talk to a homeowner. You have to be in their home. You have to be respectful. It's definitely tougher on some ways. In some ways, I just didn't want that. Emotional connection that a homeowner has, it got old after a while. So once I started doing commercial service, kind of the commercial construction, I just enjoyed it a lot more, and that's kind of why we stayed that way.
Yeah, it makes sense. One of the things regarding culture, I read the bio and I saw the different organizations that you support, and that community impact is an important part of just who you are, what you bring. Does one of you want to talk about that and where that comes from and where the heart is on that?
I think we're all kind of driven that way. We definitely want to give back and find different ways that we can get youth involved in the, like Gary was talking about, the high school that's coming up. We also want to start our own foundation at some point where we can bring maybe underprivileged kids or something of that nature into the industry and kind of run with that. So that's a five-year plan. Wow. But right now, Jen is out in the streets all day doing community supportive stuff and on every board you can imagine.
You give, and, I mean, you just start giving and it comes back around at some level.
You'll never find anybody with more energy than that one.
Why my nickname's a generator. Thanks to Walt. But that is true. I mean, that's kind of been how I've been embedded in the community, coming from a community bank and then just transitioning that over to, these guys care so much about giving back to the community, be involved with our neighbors, you know, kind of growing organically, you know, in terms of any association, like, hey, there's a charity offering or a trade school or something to give back to children. Just being very philanthropical from that regard and very open to help others in need, and even internally with the family members and giving back. And last year, you know, there's Christmas trees and Santa Claus, and it's like, it's this feeling that you get, you know, having a company baseball game that we do too to give back again. It's, you know, internally and externally in the community. And I think that's some of the cool things too that we've been able to really get involved in. And just for me being new with a company, just being able to go feet first, and these guys have the biggest hearts, and it shows through everything that they do.
And one of the things that in terms of your generosity, you brought me a little gift bag and, you know, a swag bag with stuff, so thank you. But one of the things we noticed in there that was it might have been the generator that pointed this out, I'm not sure, but you guys have a Street Vibes event coming up, and it's at your office. Yeah. So can you tell us about that event, what inspired it, and what maybe what the purpose of that is?
Purpose?
Fun.
It's called Dave's brainchild. It's his brainchild here.
It was my idea. I just thought it'd be kind of cool to have people, either customers, non-customers, competitors. We've got guys in different shops in town that are going to come and bring their hot rod or their classic car or their truck or their motorcycle, and they're going to basically come in, and we're going to have barbecue and some...
So it's kind of like a car show type feel. Okay, so everybody walks around, checks out each colored car, and that's cool. And
anything on the street. So whether it's, you know, you got a side by side, got a motorcycle, an old truck, a new car. I think
if you think it's cool, we think it's cool. So exactly.
And we'll keep you cool in the summer.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so tell me about your who has a car collection. I assume you do.
I have some stuff going on.
What do you? What's your favorite car? I asked what you drove in high school earlier, and you didn't give me a straight answer. So
I drove a 1968 Toyota Corona.
Oh, in high school?
In high school.
Okay.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. And did you sell it?
I sold it. Yeah. And then I kept selling my car. So
it was actually the heap of the month. They featured it in his high school newspaper.
Oh, my God.
Heap of the month. I've had tons of cars. He wrote his sales article on it, all the things that were wrong with it. He's going to sell it.
And so what's your proudest car that you own today? What car do you kind of, you have like a favorite or something?
You know, it's funny. The car I'm most excited about, 2 weeks ago, I bought a Rivian, and I'm really impressed with that, to be honest with you.
I never thought
I'd buy an electric car, and I absolutely love this thing. Oh, so just really well built, super fast.
All American made.
Yeah, made in Illinois, and American workers. I just feel good about buying it.
All American made. That's what a concept.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I know.
Jeez. What's your other truck, your old one?
I got a 65 C10. Chevy pickup, and got a 59 Chevy Impala, and just got some stuff.
59 Chevy Impala, is that like a lowrider? What is this?
No, 59? It's a classic. It's all stock.
I'm trying to picture what 59 Impala looks like. Okay,
got like cat eyes, big wing on the back.
Okay, now how did you decide which ones you're going to keep and which ones you're going to sell?
I've gone through a lot of cars. I get bored with them, and then I get a new one.
Oh, amazing. So is it okay if I share a little bit more about when it is, just in case somebody wants to go? It's on 8/15, which is August 15th, so about a month from now. I don't know when this is going to air, but I suppose that's a Saturday, right?
Friday.
It's a Friday.
Afternoon. Okay, Friday, 12 to 5. Oh, get out of work early. Yes. Go over, take your car over. Yes. Doesn't even matter if you have a fancy car or not. Just go over and you guys going to have food?
Yeah.
You have beer?
Barbecue, beer, soda, water.
Great.
Yeah, and it's family friendly too. So, and one of our employees will be DJing. So, Brad will be DJing. So, it'll be fun.
Well, I was thinking about driving one of my classic cars over there, but I wasn't sure it could make it all the way out to Rancho Cordova. But I have a Toyota truck that can make it out there, so I might drive it
bring
over.
It, bring
I'm
it.
Proud of that.
Absolutely. Next year, we're going to attach a charity to this event. We just haven't gotten that far yet. We're going to get it off the ground, and then we'll do some cool stuff.
Well, next time. Think there's no... I love it when people get together for those kind, to have fun, and out of that comes all kinds of imagination on about how to, make something better or have give it a certain purpose for charity or something. So that's really cool. So thinking about, I want to get in the mind of an entrepreneur. You've been a successful entrepreneur for a long time. You're in the Entrepreneurs Organization, Dave. And in the Entrepreneurs Organization, for those of you that don't know, we break up into small groups. It's I think of it as like AA for entrepreneurs. You get in these small groups and you basically share your stories and, whether it's good, bad, the greatest things and or the worst things. It could be about family or it could be about health or it could be about your business. It's not all about business. So I sort of wonder, though, what's worrying you? Everything sounds awesome. What is there anything keeping you up at night these days, or what is the type of thing that would keep you up at night?
Nothing keeps me up like it used to. Honestly, I have teammates that are really good at what they do, so that's a big help. But interest rates, inflation went up this morning. I noticed that affects us in our business, affects us in our construction side. Those things should probably bother everybody. Besides that, just making sure that what we have going right now, we keep it in our company. I love the culture. I love all the fun we're having. I love that we keep getting emails or text messages from our employees saying how much they love to work there. We just got one 2 days ago from one of our employees saying he's never bought a brand new car ever since. He's like 35 years old, and he shared that with us that he feels blessed to be there and he loves that he can afford a brand new car. And those are the things that we love to to see and hear, because really it's not just about us. It's about the company and how everybody feels and how they're doing in that company.
There's a famous, he's not an economist, but he knows the economy. His name's Ray Dalio. I don't know if you guys have heard of him or not, but he has these predictions for the future and stuff. And he recommends that we all worry, not overly worry, that we all spend some amount of time worrying. Do any of the three of you worry? Do you worry about like working out or whatever, your triathlon or something?
No, wake up, work out. But one thing too for me, coming from a banking background, is important is that we're doing the right kind of work. We're looking at our margins. We're growing in a smart way. And I think too, for me, being out doing business development, kind of being that face, it's important to know that we're making the right relationship connections, that we may not, it might not be the right job fit for us right now, but making sure that, I think, is important. And I think a lot of folks, when they're in, and I've seen businesses, when they're in growth mode, they grow too fast and they're not prepared for, hey, do we have the liquidity? Do you, and I'm big on making sure you've got a safety net. And that's what I love about these guys too, and that's what we talk about. Even Gary shares the financials in our L10 meetings on Thursday. And so we talk about that. And that's important for every layer of the company to understand where we're at and why we do what we do, whether you have to pivot more towards a service, construction, all of that. But I think knowing that and that being top of mind and being prepared will help you be successful in the long run.
Gary, you worry about anything? You strike me as somebody who has to have a broad vision for what's going on, president of the company. Is there one part that gives you the most concern?
I don't know that there's one thing that stands out. I think that it's it's kind of a constant swirling in the head of just different things that come to mind. The course the mind's going to run. This is a big. A big part of my life and what I do. I have two little ones as well. So trying to balance it at times, it gets a little overwhelming. But I think that, like Dave said, the big thing that I think that we always fall back to and why it, I'm able to fall asleep every night when I want to is I think we've done an excellent job, and everybody in our company, not just us, has done an excellent job of putting people in places and empowering them to make decisions that responsibility or the source of worry is it's spread and it's spread evenly. It's shared, right? That we feel fantastic about the department heads that we have, the people that are out there really making the day-to-day decisions for the divisions that generate revenue for us. They're invested. They care about this place. They care about us as owners, as people. They care about their employees. And that's the cultural piece that I think that it's such a huge foundational piece to a successful organization, because if you build it that way, I feel like it's reciprocity, right? They care about you, you care about them, and it does feel like family at the end of the day. And sure, there's times where we're yelling at each other, right? Trying to figure it out and get on the same page, but it's always pushed forward in a place of like, nope, we're all in this together and let's figure it out. So it's a shared sense of responsibility, which I think allows us to rest. But like Dave, you know, there's always, you know, curiosity, a little bit of concern about what the economy looks like for the next 12 months, right? I think that there's inevitably going to be a little bit of a downturn, particularly on the construction side of things. I think that, you know, what we try to do is, like Jen said, pivot to the things that are a little bit less, you know, recession influenced and can continue to sustain recurring revenue. So we lean heavy into service. We go after work and construction that is more negotiated. It's more relationship based, right? To give us an opportunity to kind of weather the storm there, and then doing the best we can to build the team so that it's as lean enough to weather some of the downturn, but then also, you know, that we're not stretching people too thin so that they can't get their work done.
So my mom and dad owned their own business when I was a kid. It was a TV shop in downtown Roseville, and my mom was a worrier. She worried, but I think mostly what she worried about was like the family unity, employee unity, that type of thing. Amber, you got any worries, or is there anything?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the biggest thing is we want to send everybody home how they showed up in the morning. So safety is big. Mm-hmm. And then just keeping that small, you know, family-owned business vibe if we can, as long as we can.
I love it.
We've definitely decided it's a legacy company, so we're not like selling or, you know.
Right.
No, we don't have any outside investors or anything like that. So we want to keep it just,
I love that.
Yeah, keep bringing people in
and people.
Growing them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like never ending business.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. I mean, Gary's kids, will feel it much more than we will, but mm-hmm. it's all worth it if we
are any of your kids involved yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
How are they working out?
Good. Yeah.
Really, that's good.
We've had all kinds of family members in and out of there. Some are still there. Dave's youngest is our estimator. His name's Reeve, so he does all our construction estimating. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Two brothers.
Yeah,
he's got two brothers that work there.
Brothers in there. Mm-hmm.
One of them's really his father.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Really cool.
So yeah,
my brother has his son.
And then
and then we have a couple. Yeah, another nephew. Yeah, there's a lot of family.
Great.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's fun. It makes it fun. It gives you good purpose.
Okay, what did I not ask you that we have to make sure we get out before we wrap up the podcast? So, any closing thoughts from any of you? Why don't we start on this side, and then we'll work to Dave to do the final closing thought if he has any.
I can start. I think that for me, it just appreciate the opportunity. I think that the work you're doing in the podcast is really cool, Mark. I think it's I think that we are kind of a unique area that really does foster and support entrepreneurial spirit and entrepreneurs in general. And we really appreciate this platform and have an opportunity to chat through some things.
Thank you.
I'll go. Well, I think it's important too. Why I joined Solus is you got to keep it fun. Do what you love. And I think that's important for a lot of folks to know. You know, you got to get out of your comfort zone. You've got to, you know, leverage opportunities. And I appreciate you, Mark, too. It's been so cool seeing you at the 25-year five-star. Like I said, still being connected to those relationships, being able to have the opportunity to showcase these guys. And the reason why I left my 20-year banking career to join a family-owned business on the other side of the house. So it's fun.
Well, I was always expected at some point for you and I to have a conversation about you helping me recruit great guests for my show, because you went, and we just never came up as we, you know, pass each other at different events and stuff like that. So thank you for making this one happen.
Yes.
And I know you know the best of the best in Sacramento, so don't be shy about playing brokerage for me.
I've got some ideas. Don't you worry. So I appreciate it.
Amber, any closing thoughts?
I think Jen's a connector. So any way you can use her for that, she is an absolute conduit. This is a great experience, and everything you do is really fun to watch. So definitely thanks for having us, and keep an eye on us because we're not done yet. Keep going.
All right, Dave, final thoughts, last word.
Well, first, thank you. I met you through EO, obviously, and I've known you for years now. We've been watching your podcast for several years, and everything you've done is amazing. And I love your passion for entrepreneurs, and being an entrepreneur, you know, I respect it, and I just really appreciate it. So we know that. And as far as us, I I've never been happier about our future and where we're headed. And it's all about the people. The people in the company are doing it. And I could take credit, but I can't, because I've got a great team that's doing everything.
Wow. Thank you guys for coming on the show. It's fun to have a show like this. Well, first, it's fun to have a lot of people on my show, but it's also fun to have people with the right, I guess, values that align with me and the way I think. So it's fun to strengthen our relationship through this. So thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you so much.
And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.